good morning. Let's stand in the house this morning. We got to worship the Lord. He is good. Amen.
What was buried beneath my shame? And who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb.
Yes,
till I met you.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
to the light of grace, just like Lazarus. Oh, you brought me back to life.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's declare this.
And where there was death,
breathe in. to save me and walk with him for all eternity. Yes. Sing. And there will be a day when all will bow before him. And there will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to
shout the victory,
lift it up to the Lord.
to cut loose together. Can we do it? When we all get to heaven. Forward to heaven. Say a good amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. You've put a great hope in our hearts, Lord Jesus, when you promised that you've gone away to prepare a place for us, that you would come again and receive us to yourself, that where you are, there we may be also. Thank you for the promise of heaven and everlasting life. And thank you, Lord, that you provide the grace and the strength that we need day by day until we get there, Lord. Your grace is sufficient. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. You provide peace and joy. You provide healing and deliverance. You make our way straight before us, O Lord, as we trust in you with all of our hearts. We love you and we thank you today for the joy of being the people of God. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said a good amen. Oh, friends, this is the day the Lord has made. And as the people of God, there are going to be many more of these. And we rejoice in the goodness of God today. Take a moment right now to turn and greet one another, please, before you're seated. Make everybody feel welcome in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Lord. Yes. We want to say welcome to everybody who's here with us this morning in the service. Thank you for being with us in the house of the Lord today. And to everybody who's joining us online as well, thank you for being with us for worship today. We are rejoicing in the goodness of our great and mighty God and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has transformed our lives, given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus is alive. And in him we live and move and have our being. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus into your life and started a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, today is the day to say to Jesus, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God who died on the cross for me and rose from the dead. And Jesus, I invite you now to come and live in my heart and be the Lord of my life, to direct my future, and to give me the promise of heaven and everlasting life. And the Lord Jesus will hear, and oh, what a good life it will be living for the Lord. We want to remind you of some important announcements today. First of all, our annual business meeting will be today at 3:00 here in the sanctuary. We urge all of the members to be present at our business meeting today. We have important matters to discuss. We'll be electing 2 deacons. We'll be looking at the financials of our church, and we'll be presenting from the deacon board a plan for our future that will take us in a slightly different direction than what we had considered previously. And so we'll be thinking about that, talking about that. We'll be entertaining a vote regarding some of those things. And we invite you to be present, please, at 3:00 this afternoon for our annual business meeting. Our business meetings are not long and drawn out. And we don't have any fighting in our business meetings. So if you've come from another church where church business meetings were just a knockdown, drag out, none of that allowed here at First Assembly, and we invite you to be here. If you are not a member but you'd like to come and watch and see, you can come and sit in the balcony tonight if you want and observe the meeting as well. We invite you to be a part of that. We also want to invite you to make plans now to attend our spring revival. Coming up in March, the end of March, about a month from now, we'll be hosting Dr. Gary Denbo, one of our favorites, a great preacher of the Word of God. He conducted a series of revival meetings for us about a year and a half ago, and he shook the house with his preaching of the powerful Word of God. And we invite you to prepare now and clear your schedules and join us for revival. It'll be a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night revival, and it'll be worth every inch of time that you can skim off of your schedule or sort out from your schedule. It'll be worth it to be with us for revival, and we invite you to join us for that. I want to show you a few pictures this morning regarding something that's just so dear to my heart that we've looked at in time past as well. Many of you know that we help that we give regularly to help some of the poor saints in Cuba at a church that we consider our sister church, the Assemblies of God Church in Madruga, Cuba. And when we send some money down there, they use those funds to help the saints in the body of Christ who are extremely poor in Cuba. You know, the Apostle Paul spent most of his third missionary journey in the book of Acts collecting a love offering for the poor saints at Jerusalem. And so it's our great privilege to be able to help the poor saints in Madruga, Cuba, at the Assemblies of God Church there. Pastor Javier is the pastor there. He is so faithful when we send a gift to send back pictures to us. We get them regularly, and he wants to be accountable. How many of you know that it's a good thing to be accountable? He wants to be accountable. The way we have to get money to them is kind of a different sort of method, as you might imagine. But he is such an accountable, excellent young man, Pastor Javier, and he sends me pictures. Now, you'll get a kick as we quickly look at these pictures of the saints in Madruga, Cuba, getting their love gift from First Assembly. And you'll notice a common denominator, and we'll say a word about that. But do we have the pictures ready? All right, take a look. These are the saints at Madruga, Cuba.
Hallelujah.
Anybody note the common denominator? Let me just say, I laughed when I saw these pictures. I just laughed to myself. I contacted immediately Lisi, Brent and Lisi, who is our connection with the church there. She grew up in that church, a great revival church in Cuba. She grew up in that church. Her parents are in one of the pictures there. I said, Lisi, why is the toilet paper in every picture? And she said, very seriously, she said, toilet paper is extremely difficult to get in Cuba. And the pastor was able not only to give financial gift, that's what the envelope was, but he was able to get a supply of toilet paper to give to all of the members of the church. How many of you know that was a good day for the church in Cuba? And so we don't have any, although a couple of years ago it might have been valuable, but we don't have any plans to distribute toilet paper anytime to the membership here anytime soon. But aren't you thankful for the Lord's blessing on us and for the privilege we have of providing a blessing to the people of Cuba? All right, put up one picture of somebody in there. Put up one picture, and everybody stretch your hands toward the screen, and let's pray right now for the church in Madruga, Cuba. Pastor Peter, you're standing right there. Lead us in a prayer, please, for the church at Madruga, for the saints there, and let's all agree together in prayer right now.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you care about the people around the world and in Madruga, Cuba. Father, I pray, Lord, that your anointing would be upon them, that you would bless them, that you would use them mightily for the kingdom of God to reach the people of that city, that they might know Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who has come to bring them salvation, your love and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for this church who has reached out to bless them as well, and that you would bless us as the givers and they as the receivers, that we might all be blessed in Jesus' precious name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. All right. We want to thank all of you for your faithfulness in tithing and giving to the work of the Lord here at First Assembly. That enables us to do all of these things that we do, and we're so grateful for the privilege of that today. Pastor Bob, you have additional announcements for the day. Come on and share those with us. As you're coming, let me make an important announcement. That is that I hear that Trent Porter is 68 today. Happy birthday, Trent Porter. Happy birthday. We love you. All right, Pastor Bob, go ahead.
Happy birthday, Trent. We love your haircut around here, as you know.
So
couple quick words of announcements. I don't think Pastor welcomed the visitors yet today. Oh, you did? Okay, you did that. And we also want to announce a youth announcement for this coming Friday. Our youth are headed to Kansas City to the Winter Jam. They're going to be leaving the church at 1 o'clock. It costs $15 cash, I think, to get in the door. So make sure you bring enough cash to get in. Also bring a little extra money for food while you're there. And if you're planning to go, please get with Pastor Lisa or register through our church app, the Realm app. And I think that might be it in the way of announcements. So if you would you stand with us once again? Heidi, would you come and lead us?
To sing your song.
this morning, for blessing us with leading us to the Lord in worship together today. We're looking this morning to the scriptures, to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Our title this morning, Fire Your Crazy Counselors Before They Convince You to Go Jump Off a Cliff. How many of you understand with me this morning that listening to the wrong counselor can be deadly? Listening to the wrong advice, getting the wrong directions, taking the wrong recommendations can ruin your life. Bad advice brings great harm when we receive it. 1 Corinthians 15 says, bad company corrupts good character. Proverbs 1:10 says, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. And Proverbs 12:5 says, the advice of the wicked is deceitful. One Old Testament king decided to listen to the advice of his spoiled young friends, and as he did, his kingdom was torn apart. Good advice, on the other hand, can bring great blessing. There are many voices that speak into our lives on a regular basis. But the foundation, at the foundation, there are two main sources of all direction and advice in life. And Psalm 1 reveals those sources to us. You can listen to the advice of this old, wicked, wayward world, the godless world, or you can listen to the counsel and to the divine direction of God's word. And so I want us to take a look this morning at the warnings of Psalm 1 so that you can do a good job of firing those crazy counselors before they lead you off a steep cliff and plunge your life to destruction. How many of you know if you go very long in the wrong direction, your course becomes set? If we're not careful, we travel for so long in one direction, we forget there is another direction, when what we really need to do is make a U-turn and go the other direction. And so I want us to listen to Psalm 1 today and sort out what counsel is best for us to listen to. The first point this morning from Psalm 1 is to look at the wicked. Take a look at the wicked in Psalm 1. The wicked are disagreeable and defiant and disobedient to God. Verse 4 refers to them as the wicked. The wicked. The wicked are the rebels who reject God's authority and counsel. They say, whatever God says, I'm going to do my own thing. The wicked are those who disagree with God. Listen to me now. They disagree with God. I suppose that's the simplest definition of who the wicked are. They disagree with God and his law. They live lawlessly in opposition to God's word and God's way. The wicked are disagreeable, defiant, disobedient to God. As a result, the second point Psalm 1 makes is that the wicked are driven and dispersed by distress and difficulty. When they face difficulty in this world, as we all do, the wicked are unstable and insecure. In fact, verse 4 says, the wicked are like the chaff that the wind blows away. The winds of life blow the wicked in a variety of directions and cause them to lose their balance. Now, we remember from a few Sundays ago our look at Psalm 73, where Asaph said, it looks like the wicked are prospering and the godly are suffering. But remember that Asaph came to the realization before the end of his psalm that the prosperity of the wicked only lasts for a short season. And eventually they will be blown away and come to ruin. Because thirdly, in this psalm, the wicked are destined for destruction. Look at verse number 5. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. And verse 6, the way of the wicked will what? Will perish. And so the psalmist says that the wicked are not going to make it when it comes time to sort things out. At the end of time, when God brings judgment, how many of you understand that God allows humans to exercise free will? And we go along for a while, but one of these days, God is going to make everything right. Mark it down, dear friend. Sinners will not get away with their sin forever. The wicked will not get away with their rebellion forever. They may seem to get away with it for a while, but there is coming a judgment day when God will judge the wicked and will declare the righteous righteous. And God will make all things right. And the psalmist says the wicked will not be able to stand on that day of judgment. They will not be able to stand. They will fall under the judgment of God. It will sweep them away. And the psalmist doubles down on this and says, and sinners will not be able to appear in the assembly of the righteous. When the righteous are gathered together, you know, when the roll is called up yonder, how many of you are going to be there? Say amen. When the roll is called up yonder, and the saints are gathered, as we sang this morning, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing. Well, listen, the all of us who are going to heaven are those who are walking with Jesus and saved by the blood of Jesus. When we sing, when we all get to heaven, we're not declaring that all of humanity will be in heaven someday. That's not Bible. No, we're declaring as a body of believers to ourselves, when we, God's people, get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. But the psalmist says the wicked will not be present there in the assembly of the righteous. They will not be present in heaven. That lesson is taught to us all the way from the earliest parts of the Bible to the end of the New Testament. The wicked will not be able to be present in heaven. So ultimately, Psalm 1 is about eternal outcomes. Yes, these are earthly principles as well, but ultimately this is about eternal outcomes. Life or destruction, the way we live now will bear eternal consequences. That's the point. So when we look at the wicked, we realize the wicked are not going to be able to make it very long. They're going to come to ruin. And then Psalm 1 provides for us some important warnings. So number 2 today, listen to these warnings. Now, I would criticize that baby over there, but that is my newest great niece. I might just give her the pulpit if she wants to cry a little bit. This morning. That's little Eva Ann. She is a keeper. She is precious. She might be the most beautiful baby on earth. I don't know. I did not know that good looks could flow down from the uncle. But I'm finding it to be the case. So Psalm 1 invites us to look at the wicked. Secondly, Psalm 1 invites us to listen to some important warnings. Now, these warnings, everybody listening today, say amen. Amen. These warnings involve where you walk, where you stand, and where you sit. That covers the basis pretty well. Where you walk, where you stand, where you sit. The whole arena of where you live life and how you live life. These are important warnings, and the first warning is this: avoid wicked counselors and their convoluted counsel. I can tell you right now, you can find somebody in this world to tell you anything. And I can also tell you this, if you want a particular word because of your fleshly desires and you want to do what you want to do, you want to disregard God, you want to disregard wisdom, and you just want somebody who will tell you what you want to hear, you can find that person. You'll be able to find a counselor to tell you anything. When we talk about counselors this morning, we're not talking about Rich and Jill, who are excellent Christian counselors, and others in our. We're talking about, in general, those who give us counsel and speak their opinions into our lives. That's what we're talking about. And Psalm 1 says we've got to avoid the wicked counselors. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. That warning says, don't let the wicked tell you how to live your life. When they differ with God in their opinions and differ with God's words, don't let them tell you how to live life. How many of you understand that you don't want to listen to somebody who is failing at life tell you how to live your life? So we don't want to listen to people who are going to tell us to, you know, to go against God. And to go against his word, whether those are friends or family members or the culture around us or world leaders. How many of you know that just because somebody is promoted to a leadership position does not make them a godly person? And how many of you know that does not mean that whatever they speak out is the right thing to listen to? There are many wicked rulers in the world today, and there have been down through the centuries of time. So we are called to avoid the counsel of the wicked. Why? Because Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron. And the people we listen to will ultimately influence us if we continue to take it in. Luke 8, Jesus said, be careful how you listen. And 2 John 10, listen to this word. John the Apostle wrote in 2 John 10, if people are going about spouting wrong teaching, don't invite them into your house. Don't invite them into your house. That is a practical warning for us. Now, we invite people, I know you invite people perhaps into your home on a regular basis who are not believers. We're not talking about that, but please don't let somebody come into your home and start capitalizing on you and your family, pouring forth false teaching and wrong principles and deception into your own home. Your home is more important than that. Could I have an amen? So we've got to be careful. And the wicked culture around us continually campaigns to pump wicked counsel, advice, information, and thought processes into us. Let's think about that for a moment. Our wicked culture taunts the truth. And we see that as early, we see it all through the pages of history, really. A wicked culture taunts the truth. Even when Jesus was standing before Pilate, Governor Pilate, Jesus said to Pilate, everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. And Pilate's response, well, what is truth? Now, we think relativism maybe is a new thing in our culture. Well, there's no absolute truth. No, relativism goes all the way back as long as humanity has existed. Long before Pilate despised the idea that there is any real dependable truth, the Greek philosophers like Plato and Aristotle and Socrates before them were declaring this thing called situational ethics and relativism that says, well, there's not really any clear standard of truth. Everybody has his or her own truth. And a wicked culture taunts the idea of truth so that the wicked culture can feel secure in what it does and feel justified about its sin. Jesus said, men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Are you here? That's why many times people who are living in outright sin and disobedience to God, they don't want to come to church and listen to a sermon because they're afraid somebody in a sermon somewhere will mess with their world and will say something that will challenge the way they want to live. A wicked culture taunts the truth as if the idea of truth is just almost an uneducated, a religious crutch. The idea of a dependable truth is just a religious crutch that somebody wants to apply to their own life, but there's no such thing as absolute truth. A wicked culture does that. But I remind you that Exodus chapter 23, verse 2 says, don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. Don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. Maybe 25 years ago, I preached a sermon entitled, Follow the Cloud, Not the Crowd. How many of you know we've got to follow the Lord, not the winds of the culture that we're living in? If this last election taught us anything, it taught us that people can vote for the most wicked of things. If this past Missouri election taught us anything, it taught us that over half of Missouri voters thinks it's okay to get high on marijuana. What a lost, broken world we're living in. Are you here today? And a wicked culture taunts the truth. And secondly, our wicked culture trades in the truth. We see that in Romans 1:25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. They trade in the truth for a lie. They'd rather believe something that is comfortable. Do you know the Apostle Paul predicted that in the last days, people would search around for preachers and teachers who would say what their itching ears want to hear? I'm looking for somebody who says what I want to hear. Can I say something to you this morning? A church that will not challenge you with the raw word of God is not worth attending. Are you here? Now, hopefully, and the goal is that in a body of believers like this, the great bulk of believers will come into line with the truth of God so that even when we preach from the pulpit the hard, strong truths of the Word of God, the body of Christ will say, amen. We believe that. And not only do we believe it and say amen, but we've chosen to live that for our own lives. So, you know, we've got to understand the wicked world. They trade in the truth. And our wicked culture twists the truth. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So a wicked culture just twists it all around. Ultimately, they will tell us that principles that we live by as Christians, according to the Word of God, those very principles, they say, are corrupt and wicked. They call the goodness of God wickedness. Are you here? And they call what God says is wrong, they call that not only right, but good and pleasing. And they criticize the people of God for believing God's word. But let me tell you, friends, we need to learn that if all men are liars, God is the truth. And that we'll believe God first before we believe anybody else. Our wicked culture twists the truth. We see that in the society in which we live. There's cultural chaos and confusion all around us regarding all kinds of subject matters. Think about what we heard last Sunday morning, the message on the sanctity of life and abortion. That message, the message of truth regarding the sanctity of life, is declining in popularity regularly right here in our own nation. Are you here? And even many of these states who had trigger laws in place that would outlaw abortion upon the reversal of Roe versus Wade, many of those states are now considering referendum votes so that they can, by state election, authorize and legalize abortion anyway. What does that say to us? That says to us that our culture is moving in... Are you watching me? Our culture is moving in this direction. Whoop. Womp, womp, womp. We are moving in the wrong direction away from God. So much chaos in our culture. So much deception about sexual morality and immorality. What is right and what is wrong? And Bible standards are just absolutely ridiculed and mocked. So much deception in our culture, even about this thing called gender identity. That a boy can be a girl and a girl can be a boy, and all of this mixture that goes against the very nature of creation itself and ignores the historical creation of humanity by God as male and female. So much distortion of truth. So much distortion about drinking and drunkenness and drugs, as we mentioned a moment ago. And friends, it's shocking that even in the world today, there's so much twisting about whether lying and cheating and other ethical behavior is acceptable or not. I'm here to tell you this morning, God's way is not only the right way, but God's way is the best way. And yet in the world in which we live today, truth is being twisted. I want to tell you this morning, friends, you not only need your own church and your own pastor and your own Christian body of believers, but you need your own Bible. And you need to be able to stand on the Word of God. Ultimately, the greatest two deceptions of our age are these. Number one, the Bible is not the reliable Word of God. I know of some recently who have left the straight way, who used to believe in the authority and the inspiration and the reliability of the Bible, and now have abandoned that to say, well, the Bible is just like some other religious textbook. The primary deceptions, the chief deceptions in our world today are these. The Bible is not the reliable Word of God. And two, Jesus Christ is not the only way to salvation. And yet Jesus himself declared, no one comes to the Father except through me. So we've got all this distortion of truth. Lots of counsel, lots of people providing input, advice, counsel, opinions. Our wicked culture taunts the truth, trades in the truth, twists the truth. And fourthly, our wicked culture tries to terrorize the truth tellers. They do. Listen to this word in Isaiah chapter 30. I just finished my first travel through the Bible last week. Now I'm starting in my second round through the Bible. I love the Word of God, don't you? And Isaiah chapter 30, I was reminded of this verse recently in the book of Isaiah. They say, the wicked, they say to the seers or the prophets, get this, see no more visions. And to the prophets, give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Look at verse 11. Leave this way. Get off this path and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. These were the people of God. And now they're saying, we don't want to hear about God anymore. We've heard enough about God. We don't want to hear about God anymore. Listen, friends, you can shut your ears, you can shut your mind, you can shut your heart, you can shut your life, you can shut God out of your life, but you will not shut God out of this creation. He is the creator and the Lord of all, and one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You say, well, I don't believe that. Doesn't matter what you believe. It matters for you what you believe. You better get on track with the Word of God. So Psalm 1 says we've got to avoid wicked counselors and their convoluted counsel. Secondly, we need to avoid wicked company and their corrupt conduct. Verse 1, blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners. So we're called to this. Don't go where the wicked go. Are you here? Don't stay where the wicked stay. Don't do what the wicked do. Don't be influenced by their living. Are you here? Avoid their life. When it comes to the wicked, as the people of God, we need to avoid their lifestyle. We need to avoid their language. Are you here? We need to avoid their business practices. We need to avoid their personal standards of ethics. We need to avoid their entertainment choices. We need to avoid their priorities and pursuits in life. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. If you're yoked together with an unbeliever, the likelihood is that unbeliever will drag you right along down the hill with him or her. And as I think some of us were talking in the office the other day, this is a principle worth noting. The force of spiritual gravity is always downward. If you just do nothing, your spirituality will decline. It requires study, prayer, worship, encouragement. It requires diligence to build a strong life in the Lord. And it requires nothing to backslide and fall away from God. So be careful. Avoid wicked company and their corrupt conduct. We can't afford to be pulled down and sucked into this wicked world in which we're living. I don't know about you, but I'd rather go to heaven than to be dragged down to hell with the wicked. So thirdly, as we hear the warnings from Psalm 1, we've got to avoid wicked critics and their conceited criticism. And listen to what verse 1 says. Blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of what? Mockers. Mockers. The scornful, says the King James Version. Blessed is the one who does not sit in the seat of mockers. Eventually, the wicked criticize and mock God's ways. They poke and they scorn and they laugh. I remember even from my earliest days as a young person, as a child and a young person, that unbelievers wanted to poke fun at believers who were living for Jesus. That's been true down through history, down through the pages of Scripture and in the pages of our own history. The wicked mock God and they mock God's people. They dismiss God's wisdom and they dismiss God's people. So the Scripture says don't sit with them. And listen, I want to say this to you this morning. Don't be afraid of the criticism that wicked people have of your spiritual life. Are you here? You live for Jesus and let your praise come from God, right? You know, there might be some seasons in your life where you are living passionately for Jesus, you're trying to grow in the Lord, you're making advances, and maybe nobody encourages you in that. And it feels like the people around you aren't trying to help you grow in the Lord or advance in the Lord. Listen, don't you worry about that one bit. You just take the praise from God. And just know that as you are pursuing Jesus with all your heart, the Lord will not forget you. He will not take his eye off of you. You will be the apple of his eye. The Lord will cover you. He will encourage you. He will strengthen you. He will not fail you. So hang on to the Lord no matter what anybody else says. Right? We've got to be careful that we don't allow the world to pull us in. Look at the wicked, number two. Listen to these warnings. And thirdly, from the first Psalm, live your life by the word of God. Two simple instructions. Everybody still awake with me this morning? Two simple instructions that both have a few subpoints. Number one, be a Bible believer. Blessed is the man whose delight, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. I'll break that into two compartments. First compartment is this. We need to learn to delight in God's word. To delight, to really learn to enjoy the word of God. To get into the word of God, make it a priority in our lives, and learn to love it and appreciate it. We need to receive God's word as a good gift to us from God. How many of you here today are grateful that God has given you his word in the Bible? How many of you are glad for that? I'm so grateful for that. I'm so glad for the word of God. I don't know what I would do without the word of God. First of all, I'd be out of a job. Because I'm a preacher, a teacher of the word of God. I don't thank God for his revelation to us. You know, God's revelation to us is what we would call in a theological sense a great condescension. When we think of being condescending, we think of talking down to somebody. That's our thought when we think of the word condescend. Well, he's condescending. That means he's talking down to you. Well, in a theological sense, God's provision of his word to us is the great condescension. Because how many of you already know today that God is smarter than you? How many of you know that? God is smarter than you. God is bigger than you. God is better than you. But in his great love for us, He has spoken down to us. He has come to our level. Not only has he given us his word through prophets and apostles, but God himself, think about this, God himself, through the person of Jesus, God became human flesh, came to this world, walked the dusty roads of this world, lived and moved and interacted with us to relate to us and to look us in the eye. To show us what God is like. To reveal God to us. Jesus came to touch us and to show us the love of God. God is a very condescending God. But oh, the beauty of that goes on and on. And he has given us his word. What a precious gift is the word of God. I have the great privilege as pastor to receive phone calls on a fairly regular basis. I know the other pastors do too, from people who say, what do you think about this scripture passage I'm reading? Not only do people bring questions to me, I don't always have exactly the answer they want, but I love to talk about it. I have people come to me and say, oh, I've been meditating on this particular verse or this particular chapter. Oh, this is just awesome. And I get a chance to talk about these things and to think about these things. Yeah. Mike Fork's been in a project these last few years, and he's just like inundated himself in the scriptures and the teaching ministry. And Mike, I love it when you call and say, give me your thoughts on such and such. What a joy it is to discuss the word of God together. Kim Dickey recently told me, she's a Sunday school teacher. She recently told me, I need to retire so I can spend more time studying the word of God. I love that, don't you? We need to receive God's word as a good gift from God. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for your word. We need to regard God's word, the Bible, as the gracious guidance from God for our lives. God wants to show us how to live, huh? And his guidance is gracious to our lives. Do you believe with me this morning that God wants the best for you? How many believe that? Say a good amen. Do you believe God's just trying to rob and steal all the fun out of your life? Or do you believe God wants the very best for you? Yeah, we believe God wants the... So we've got to regard God's word as God's gracious guidance for us. And we've got to respect the word of God as the governance of God. The word of God is not just to provide guidance. The word of God is for providing governance of our lives. Because sometimes if we think of something as guidance, we think, well, I have an option, you know. Pastor Peter's been preaching about the Ten Commandments. You note they're not called the Ten Suggestions. And sometimes when we think of something as guidance, we think, well, that's pretty good guidance. I'll meditate on that and see whether I want to take that or not. No, the word of God is not just guidance, it's governance. The word of God to us is God's requirement from us. Not just through the Old Testament law, which as Gentile believers, we're not under strictly the Old Testament, the law of Moses. We're under the New Testament law. But I want to tell you, friends, this morning, the law of God provided to us in the New Testament is thorough enough for us to keep busy, huh? Endeavoring to live a life that is pleasing to God. Could you say amen? We need to delight in God's word, and we need to deliberate on God's word. Because the psalmist says here, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And get this, on his law, he meditates day and night. Now, think with me. This is more than a 15-minute Bible reading every morning. Are you here? The person spoken of here in Psalm 1 is meditating on the word of God day and night. A constant, enduring, throughout the day and night relationship with God's word, meditating on that. So I say to you, go to the word of God, go to it and grab it. Read it and research it. Believe it and buy into it. Consider and contemplate it. Discuss it and declare it. Accept it and apply it, the word of God, and pray it. And praise it. One of the best boosts to your prayer life will be for you to begin to take the scriptures and incorporate the scriptures into your praying and into your praising. Are you here? As we take the word of God and we begin to pray. Father God, I have a cold this week. And I don't have a cold. This is just an illustration. Father God, I have an ingrown toenail this week. And I need healing. But I thank you, Father God, that you declared all the way back in Exodus 15:26 that you are the Lord, my healer. I thank you that Psalm 107 declares that even if I've messed myself up by my own wrong decisions, if I'll call out to you, you will send forth your word and heal me. I thank you, Lord, that your word declares that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed and I was healed. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that if my ingrown toenail gets any worse, I can go and be anointed by the elders in the name of the Lord Jesus. They can pray the prayer of faith over me, and the prayer offered in faith will bring me healing in the body. Listen, as we pray, let's pray the word of God and thank the Lord and praise the Lord with his word. Oh, yes. We need to be devoted in our lives to the word of God so that we don't fall for the deception and the bad counsel of this world. Are you listening? Here are some thoughts. Why don't you start a daily Bible reading plan and build consistency? How many times have you heard me preach that? Why don't you pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you read the Bible? Why don't you jot down some notes as you read your Bible? Why don't you underline or highlight the scriptures that touch or strike you? Why not use a reliable study Bible to help with the context notes? Why not memorize some meaningful verses of scripture? Why not attend a Bible teaching church and listen, listen, listen? Why not join a men's or women's Bible study? Why not attend Sunday school class? Well, I'm so busy. You're not too busy to grow in the Lord, dear friend. You need to settle and establish your priorities, and your priorities need to be focused on getting you stronger in the Lord and closer to the Lord. Are you here? Why not attend a Sunday school class? This is the 8:30 service today. You can attend a Sunday school class today. Well, I'll start next Sunday. No, you won't. You don't start today, you probably won't start next week either. Why not listen to an audio Bible in the car or around the house? Talk about things you're reading with other Christians. Research interesting topics throughout the Bible. Why not start reading the Bible with the family or listen to music that has scriptural lyrics? As you read the scriptures, use those scriptures to pray and worship. Why not work strategically to apply what you're reading practically? Why not engage the Word of God and meditate upon it day and night? You see, God's Word, I got to hurry. God's Word, look at the box on the outline. God's Word is a sword for piercing into wrong thinking. You know why I know that many of the cultural things that are going around today are wrong and wicked and sinful? Because the Word of God pierces into those things and shines the light on that deception. Are you here? Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and intents and attitudes of the heart. The Word of God, when deception comes to you, if you are a Word of God person and deception comes to you out of the TV, then the Word of God, as that deception comes to you, the Word of God, like a sword, is going to pierce right into that, and you're going to say, no, that's not what the Word of God says. Your favorite personality on television, your favorite news commentator will make some statement and you will say, no. You will even hear the president of the United States spout out some ridiculous deception about our culture. And you will say, no, God's word is above the president's word. God's word is reliable. God's word will prevail regardless, listen, regardless of presidential decrees, regardless of Supreme Court decisions, regardless of the decisions of legislatures, God is right. And his word is true. And if we're going to keep from being sucked down into the swamp with the wicked, we've got to develop a relationship with the Word of God. Are you here this morning? And God's Word is a seed for planting right thinking. Luke 11, the seed is the Word of God. Be a Bible believer and be a blessed believer. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man. This is a happy, healthy, hopeful life in God's presence and in his will. Hear me now, friends. The very best place you could ever live your life is right in the center of God's perfect will. It's when we begin to stray from that we begin to get ourselves into trouble. The best place to live is in the center of God's perfect will for your life. You say, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Listen to me. Some of you are saying, well, I don't know whether the Lord wants me to move to Montana or stay here in Missouri or take that job over on the other side of town or keep my... Listen, you let those kinds of decisions come along after you have made the decision to live by the standards of the Word of God, the Bible, and the directions the Bible has given you. You know, whether you live in Missouri or Montana is not nearly as important as whether or not you are faithful to your wife. Are you awake? Whether you take the job at uptown or on the west side of town is not nearly as important in your life as whether or not you hear the Word of God and determine that you are not going to be a liar and a deceiver. You're going to be a truth teller and a person of godly character. Are you here? Where people are seeking for the will of the Lord when the will of God is right in front of them in the pages of Scripture, and they won't abide by the clearly revealed will of God, and then they want to know, should I buy the Ford or the Chevy? I've said often in my times in my ministry, when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. What do we know to do? Live according to God's word. Pray, seek his face, trust him, worship him. Can I have an amen? Get in the word of God. So be a Bible believer and be a blessed believer. The blessed believer in Psalm 1 says he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Now, this doesn't mean you'll never face trouble, but ultimately Romans 8:28 will come into play in your life. God is working in all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And in the long term, listen, in the long run, if you live God's way, you'll close out your life on planet Earth, troubled though it may be, and you'll open your eyes in the presence of God in heaven. And you will say, I'm glad I lived for God. Huh? And if by some chance you disregard God and wind up in the other place, you will open your eyes and you will say, I wish I had lived for God. So you will live in eternity either in eternal joy and gladness or eternal regret and punishment. It's your choice. Psalm 1 lays it all out before us. And so we have to come to the conclusion that we're going to receive God's word. Psalm 1 begins with the word blessed and ends with the word perish. Think about that. Those are the two options. You can either perish without God in your own wicked ways, or you can live in the blessing of the Lord now and eternally through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I urge you this morning. Are you still awake with me? I urge you this morning. Fire your crazy counselors before they convince you to go jump off a cliff and live in the security and the blessing and the eternal hope that God's word brings. In Jesus' name, amen.